Jeremiah 29. Thank you for that. The world would call, amen, what just happened in my heart over there with that song and being brought back in time. Amen. They would say that's nostalgic, I think's what they would say. Amen. I say, amen, I've been blessed tonight. It's more nostalgia. Amen. That's a blessing from the Lord God of glory. Amen. To be transported back through the years of my Christian life, hearing that song and those kind of songs as has been sung tonight. And you can have all the new stuff, all this, amen, bebop your head and jump around and amen. One preacher said, well, I won't say that, but amen, get up there and carry on the way they do. And you can have all that, and every church, they can do it however they feel like they need to do it. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I just like how God, amen, has been meeting with me in that, amen, that old-time way of worship and them old songs of Zion that's blessed the church down through the years. I am sure thankful for it tonight. Amen. Jeremiah 29, stand if you're willing and able to do so. And we'll be just a little while tonight. My voice, I mean, I'm telling y'all, I've tried to save it all week long for the Lord's Day. And had I not been preaching this week, seemed like Sunday night rolls around and I'm just, amen, I've give it all I've got. And I have done that all week. The fact that I can even talk is a miracle. Amen. But I don't know how long I'll be able to go tonight. And I really want to do this text as much justice as I'm able to do it. And so we may not be able to get it all said again tonight. But let's just see what the Lord has for us tonight. The Bible said in verse 1, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent unto Jerusalem, unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. We preached, I guess, the opening 7 verses of this chapter this morning. So let's jump down. And tonight, I think we'll just cover verse 8 and 9, and then maybe some verses at the end of the chapter. But the Bible said, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord. You continue his writing in verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. You can be seated tonight. We'll continue our thought on how to carry on when you've been carried away. Throughout this text, as we read it all in its entirety this morning, we find the phrase carried away used over and over again. He speaks of these that have been carried away in verse number 1. On 2 occasions, again 2 times in verse 4, carried away. 1 time in verse number 7, carried away. And then in verse 14, the verse ends, this section ends with the Lord speaking about those that have been carried away. They had been carried away into Babylonian captivity, representing to you and I a time of weeping, a time of worry, a time of weariness, a time of wandering, that is going, wondering what is going on, a time of wasting, and a time of wondering, that is as we understand Psalm 137 verse 4, that they know and sense that they are in a strange land. This is not familiar territory. They are wandering in a strange land. There's a sense in which all of us tonight as professing believers could say that we're living in a Babylonian culture, and we've been carried away. Brother Mike prayed for our nation this evening as we called on him to pray a prayer of revival, the prayer for repentance of our nation to return to the glory that she once knew. And I'm thankful for the heritage of our nation. She has not been perfect. She has not, even from her conception, been a nation that has existed in perfection. And a lot of things we could say tonight, even about her founding, but I believe tonight that we are a nation that is a shell of the glory that we have once known. And so there is in that sense a sense of being carried away in a Babylonian culture in America tonight. And there's a sense that individually we could make application of this, what Babylon and being carried away represents. In times of weeping and worrisome and wearisome times, and wondering what in the world is going on. How did I get where I am? And what is God going to do in all of this mess? And a time where we feel like we're being wasted away and whittled down literally to nothing. And this is where these people are, having been carried away. But Jeremiah sits down and he writes a letter. And that's how the chapter begins. This is the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent. Jeremiah is still back in Jerusalem. He has yet to be carried away himself. He will in time to come. But as he sits in Jerusalem, as he sits in the homeland, as he sits in that place, it is the holy city of God. He writes to those that have been carried away. And through this letter, he's going to tell them how they can carry on. They may be in Babylon. They may be in a bad time. They may be in chains. They may be in captivity. Things may not be going well for any of them. But he's writing to them how they need to carry on. And the way that they need to carry on as the people of God, even though they've been carried away. And so what a text tonight that we could take for our own understanding and our own learning and our own life on how to carry on when you've been carried away. This morning we began to look at this text and we started with the premise that there is a word from God when we've been carried away. They may have been carried away, but Jeremiah sits down and writes a letter. But it's more than a letter. It's more than the word of a man. It's more than the word of even a man of God. Amen. Jeremiah said on several occasions in writing, verse 4, verse 8, verse 10, verse 11, and verse 14, twice, he said, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm glad when we're carried away and our life is flipped upside down, and it looks like the enemy has his, my friend, shoved in a corner, I'm glad the Lord can get his word to you and I. And it's by his word that we'll know how to carry on. I don't have to live by my own opinions. I don't have to live by the opinions of others. I don't need Dr. Phil to tell me how to make it. Amen. Thank God I've got a word from God that can reach me where I am being carried away. Amen. Boy, I've got so much preach on the inside, I just ain't got a voice to do it. I'm glad tonight there's a word from God. Amen. I'm thankful this evening, a word from God that'll tell us some things about how to carry on. You see, when you've been carried away and you're in a season of being carried away, you're going to need something greater than opinions. You're going to need something, my friend, that has a more sure footing. than just flipping dice and flipping coins and rolling dice and making it by the seat of your britches. Amen. You're going to need more than just a wild cowboy way of getting through. I'm glad tonight there's a thus saith the Lord that can reach us in the times when our lives are being carried away. Do you know anything about the Word of God tonight? Has the Word of God met you where you are? Amen. Do you have a relationship with God's Word? Amen. Jeremiah, if he's teaching anything in this text, it is that you can make it and you will only make it by way of thus saith the Lord. Amen. And so tonight we have that. Amen. In Jeremiah's day, they was running around saying, where is the word of the Lord? But tonight, you and I, we have the canonization of the Word of God. We have a complete copy of what God's Word has to say. And so the Word of God, it's in our hand. And the Word of God, it is in heaven. Amen. As the psalmist said, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. And thank God, I've got God's Word in my heart. And it's been hid there for me. And I might know how to carry on when I've been carried away. And so we find the Word of God. Well, what does God's Word have to say? What is it that God's Word is communicating to you and I? When that we've been carried away. We looked at this morning God's Word of counsel to the carried away. God's Word of counsel. I won't re-preach it all this evening. But just quickly tonight, we looked at in verses 1-3 at God's word of counsel to the carried away is stay connected to the people of God. You're going to need God's people. You're going to need fellowship with God's people. You're going to need identification with God's people. In Babylon, you're going to need some people that have a heart to do right. And so he says, stay connected to the people of God. Strengthen yourself in the sovereignty of God. Verse 4, and it is God who is the cause and the effect that nothing can touch your life as a child of God. From whatever reason God sends it, it is God that causes it. It is God that sends it. And it is God that is in control. Settle down and build your home. Amen. Work on your family. Amen. Make sure you establish wherever you live a refuge that is drama free. And a refuge, my friend, that will sustain you when Babylon carries you away. Sow some seed that will sustain you in latter times and in the hard times. Verse number 5, he said, plant some gardens and eat the fruit of them. Spark some things that will keep you alive. God said you need some relationships in your life that can produce a life and a progeny and a prosperity in which I will cause you not to be diminished, but be able to cause you to increase. I'm glad tonight I have a relationship with God that brings to pass a life in my life and brings some things that cause me to increase. A relationship with God's Word, a relationship with the secret place, a relationship that of spiritual things that produce spiritual things in my life. And so many tonight, they are diminishing. They're diminishing in their season of being carried away. But it is the will of God, no matter what has carried us away, that we would be increasing. Amen. It ain't the will of God for you to dwindle away to nothing into obscurity. It's the will of God that you have some relationships that are going to build you and increase you and grow you. Though you've been carried away, God's word of counsel to the carried away is to seek the peace that comes from God. Amen. He said in verse 7, he said, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. Pray for peace. Pray that God would allow you to know something about peace in an unsettled environment. Best I can tell, there ain't much peace in America tonight. And you may be in a situation tonight, you looking around on every hand, and it doesn't look like there's any end to the turbulence that is going on. But child of God, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of turbulence, in the midst of an unruly generation, you and I as God's children can still seek and find, I might add, the peace of God. And in that place of seeking peace, I'm glad we shall have peace. Amen. Peace for unsettled times. Amen. That peace that says God's got it all under control, and I can rest in God's promise, and that I can, amen, just simply carry on in God, even though I've been carried away. And so he preached all of that this morning, God's word of counsel for the carried away. But notice with me tonight, God's word of caution to the carried away. God's word of caution, God's word again is brought to them in this letter. He said again in verse number 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed." God said in verse number 9, "For they prophesied falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." Do y'all see a word of caution from God there? Amen. The caution this evening we want to point out. Now notice, we've already said that they've been carried away, and really the great hope that they have, amen, some of them's hope had been failing. And some of them's hope we see in these verses is false. But the antidote to failing and false hope is that we have a faithful word from God. God has been speaking to them. God has been preaching to them. And God has been delivering and communicating his word to them. The caution then in these verses is about being careful not to listen or give place to the voices that God has not sent. You better be careful what you listen to when your life's being carried away. You need to be very, very cautious tonight what you listen to, who you allow to speak into your life. And may I say, in Babylon, there's a million and one different voices that are crying out to you that if you give place to and you heed to and you listen to, you will find yourself, my friend, being brought into a very distressing spiritual position. Amen. You need one voice in your life, and that is the voice that God has sent, and the voice that God has directed, and the message God has given you to live by. You don't need to listen what Babylon thinks about you being carried away. You're going to need a greater voice than your buddies and your friends and your pals. If you're going to make it and carry on when you've been carried away, listen to the caution that God gives to the carried away about being very diligent about the voices you're going to listen to. Amen. Amen. And so tonight, I'm glad we have the word from God. Here's what John would say in the New Testament. I think it pertains here. Amen. He said, "Beloved," he said, "believe not every spirit." Amen. Don't you believe every spirit. Now, if you're believing something, that means something is trying to get your attention. Amen. Something is trying to speak into your life. And John said, every spirit, amen, that you're listening to, or every spirit that is trying to give voice into your life, he said, they're not all from God. Amen. Amen. Try those spirits, he said. And I believe in these last days we're living in, maybe we have that sense of being carried away. But if we're going to carry on, we're going to have to quit concerning ourselves with voices that God has not sent. Amen. Now sometimes that can be hard, because the voices that we're hearing is claiming to be of God. And that's what they were doing in Jeremiah's day. And in this crowd that has been carried away, you had people, you had outside voices, and hang on, I'll get to it in a minute. You had inside voices that were claiming to be from God, that God said in verse number 9, I have not sent those voices into your life. Amen. Amen. Ain't it amazing how the world and the flesh and the devil and religion and even well-meaning people can speak things that, and if you've been saved long enough, you know that what I'm telling you is right. You look back over your life, and the world, the flesh, and the devil, and well-meaning Christian people was trying to speak to you as though it was from God, and it wasn't from God. Amen. Amen. Why is God so concerned about giving this caution? And I know we'll be a far cry from where we were this morning, and we'll be a far cry from where we were or where we will be, amen, if we ever get to finish this message. But understand tonight, this is in the text. Amen. What is not from God is going to, it's going to bring some things that God doesn't want brought into their life. You go listen to anything other than God tonight. You go listen to anything other than the voice of God that comes through His Word and through a Spirit-filled man of God that is preaching His perfect Word. Amen. It's going to bring some things in your life that God doesn't want there. Amen. Look at it with me in the text tonight. Number one, God is cautioning the carried away about these voices that are not from God, because things that are not from God, number one, they will bring deception into your life. The Bible said, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. God said, you need to be careful about listening to voices I have not sent into your life, because they can bring deception to you. The word deception is something, it appears all through the Word of God in relation to the people of God. God doesn't want us deceived. God wants our minds clear. God wants us to discern His way. God wants us to be able to distinguish the path that He would have for you and I to live in. But the Lord is sending a word of caution to those that have been carried away. Because if you listen to something God and someone God and something God has not sent into your life, it won't take long for you to wind up in deception. A word deceive, he said they're deceiving you. They're not leading you in the will of God. They're not leading you in the way that God would have you to go. They are deceiving you. The word deceive means to lead astray. To lead astray. They're leading your life astray. They are deluding what is right. The word deceive literally means to seduce. There is a sense in which the Lord is saying you're being drawn away from how to carry on. You're losing the ability to carry on in this time of being carried away because you're listening to the voices I've not sent, and now you're all deceived. You don't know up from down. Amen. If I don't want to be anything tonight, I believe I'd say I don't want to be deceived. Amen. If you don't walk with God and know God's word, it's amazing how quick you can get deceived. Amen. I'm watching something now over several months, and someone that once claimed to believe that book and what we preach and how we've delivered. It's almost a case study for me at this point in time, how deceived somebody can get, how far they can go from the truth. Yes, sir. Amen. You, my friend, start listening to people, amen, that just prophesy smooth things and pat you on the back and bring you in, and all that you are going to embrace is just based on how it makes you feel. Amen. Oh, you are a prime candidate for the world, the flesh, and the devil and religion to lead you astray. Amen. I believe that's right. I believe that's right tonight. Be careful the voices that you're listening to. Amen. Is it from God? Are the people you're allowing to speak into your life, are they from God? Are they telling you what is from God? Because if not, friend, God knows how easy it is for us to be seduced away from truth and the will of God. And you say, boy, I'll never do this and I'll never do that. You'll be amazed what you'll do if you start letting people have a voice in your life that God hasn't sent. Amen. That's why you ought to be careful what preachers you listen to. Amen. That's why you ought to be careful who you allow to bosom up to you in your life. Amen. You saw I could never be deceived. Hey, there's a good illustration of it in the Old Testament when Isaac was getting ready to put the blessing on Esau and Jacob. That my friend Jacob, knowing that Esau was going to receive the greater blessing, and he wanted that. What did he do? He disguised himself. He my friend, presented himself as Esau. And Isaac, even in that moment of time, he knew something wasn't right. He said, come here, let me feel you. He's operating on how he feels. And Jacob came to his own father Esau, and he rubbed him, and he didn't know Jacob had put goat fur. You imagine how furry Esau must have been. He put a goat skin on him, went over there and let his daddy rub that goat skin. Here's what Isaac said. He said, it feels like Esau, but it's the voice of Jacob. Amen. You better be real careful going on your feelings. Many young people have got out of the will of God because they operated on feelings. They heard a voice, it sounded one way, and they ignored how it sounded and they went on their feelings. There have been parents that have got out of the will of God and been deceived because they ignored the voice that they knew something's not right about this and operated in feelings. And feelings will always lead you to deception. Amen. You get deceived, you won't know how to carry on when you've been carried away. Amen. God is concerned about it bringing deception. God is concerned about it bringing destruction. Something interesting in this verse, I told you there are outside voices and there are inside voices. Amen. Can I tell you this? You better learn how to listen to the voice of God even above your own voice. But Tim, in this text, he said, not only is he sent a caution about, he said, your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of thee. But notice what he said here in verse number 8, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. God said, you've got some dreams inside of you that you're listening to that I didn't put in you. Now let me tell you this, God can put some dreams in you. He did it with Joseph. He put some dreams in Joseph. And I'm telling you, they was big dreams and they was amazing dreams. And it took a long time for those dreams to become a reality. And I believe God can put some dreams in a man. Amen. But listen, you better be careful operating just in trying to make come to pass your own dreams if God's voice ain't in it. Amen. Them inside voices that say, amen, follow your own dreams. Follow your own heart. It don't matter what anybody thinks. It don't matter what God has said. Amen. And God is saying, listen, God is saying, be careful of the voices you hear that I have not said. Even those voices that are within you, to follow your own dreams and to have your own dreams, because living out your dreams and not God's plans always lead to destruction. Amen. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man.
Amen. You can dream some things up and you can even attach God and his name to it. And if God ain't in it, buddy, I'm telling you, before it's over, it'll be a mess in your life. Amen. You say you preach that like you know something about it. I've been there. Amen. I followed my own way. Amen. Sometimes I'm sad to say, I wish I hadn't. And some of us, we're so hard-headed, we got to learn the old. Amen. We got to learn the hard way. There have been some times I've had to learn the hard way. It's better to die to my dreams and not touch anything. Amen. I've caused myself to dream that God didn't put there. Amen. Is that right? Amen. God's saying, I know that if you listen, you keep on listening to these voices I've not sinned, you're going to destroy your life. Amen. Young people, I don't want your life destroyed. You young families, I don't want your families destroyed. Amen. There are times you're going to want something so bad in life that God didn't intend for you to have. You'd be better off leave it alone, walk away from it, and get away from it as fast as you can. Amen. And it may hurt and all them feelings come into play in this point as well. And if you ain't careful, you'll wind up embracing your own dreams that God didn't put there. And I've watched how that stuff ends. I've watched where that gets people, and it ain't a good place. Amen. Amen. God says, I don't want you listening to these voices I've not sent. They'll bring deception and destruction. Number three, I'll close here. God understands that it'll bring about disobedience in your life. Amen. It's amazing when you back up a chapter, there's a story of a false prophecy given by a prophet in Jerusalem by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah in Jerusalem, he stands up, he says, this ain't going to be a long captivity. It won't be a carrying away that lasts long. And Jeremiah, he come even to Jeremiah and preached it on top of Jeremiah. Here's what Jeremiah said. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That sounds wonderful. Jeremiah, having said amen to it, he said, I know this much. Any man that stands and makes a proclamation and speaks on God's behalf, if he's really speaking for God, it'll be borne out before it's over. It'll come to pass. Amen. Then Hananiah hears that and he stands up and he takes the yoke off of Jeremiah and he breaks it. And the Lord comes to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I did not tell Hananiah to say that. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had something you thought came from God that God set you down and said, no, I did not send that? Some of y'all don't have a relationship with God and his voice and him to be able to speak to you enough, amen, that what you've said amen to, what you've said let it be in your life, God could come by and your heart be so tender to God's voice that God could say, I did not send that in your life. God comes to Jeremiah, Brother Jerry, and he said, Jeremiah, I didn't send that. Now what I want you to do, I want you to get up and go down there to Hananiah and you tell Hananiah, I'm going to kill him. He ain't got a year to live. I'm going to kill him. Because Jeremiah, what he has done in that false voice, what he has done, he has taught the children of God how to rebel against the Lord. Amen. It sounded good. It sounded right. Jeremiah even said amen to it. No, just look at it if you don't believe me. Amen. Here's what he said. Here's the word to Hananiah. Jeremiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die. Why? Because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. You know why God is so serious in chapter 29 about being careful what you listen to. He watched Jeremiah, who had a heart for God. He watched Jeremiah, who was the voice of God for so many other people. He watched this man, this child of God, almost, my friend, being led into rebellion against God because he was listening to a voice that he thought was God's voice. God said in the end, Jeremiah, where he was getting ready to lead you to was a place of rebellion in your life. Amen. There's another instance. I'm done now. But let me just give you this. A man by the name of Shimei in the end of chapter number 29. He's called Shemaiah the Nehelamite. Nehelamite just means a dreamer. He's a teller. He's a voice of dreams. And he comes and he writes letters from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Said, Jeremiah said, this is going to be 70 years. God told me it wasn't going to be 70 years. God told me it was going to be 2 years. And here's what he did. Brother Tim, he began to write this letter. He said, I can't believe y'all are going to let Jeremiah stand and preach that hard message. I can't believe you're going to let him tell you hard things. That he is going to preach to you things that are a burden and things that are going to be mindful of a captivity that is going to last 70 years. He's trying to make it hard on all of us. No. Jeremiah was just telling them what God said. Jeremiah's just telling them what God said. It may be hard, it may be a burden, but it's what God said. And they can twist it and change it and try to rewrite it, but it ain't changing the fact they're staying in Babylon 70 years. Shemaiah can say only once it'll be two, it's going to be 70. And so Shemaiah the Nehelamite, He sends this letter back and he is rebuking the Jeremiah. Watch it now. He is rebuking Jeremiah, who is the voice of God for the people. Amen. And God said, Jeremiah, I want you to write a letter. Amen. I want you to speak. I want you to cry aloud. And he does that in verse number 30. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. And he shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. You see, God takes serious those voices that come into your life that put down the voice of God in your life. Amen. I've watched this happen in churches. Amen. In 20s, whatever many years of pastoring, I have watched God send a message to a church or to a person's life about something, and then somebody else step in between them and the message God sent and say, God didn't say that. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way and be saved? Are you kidding me? If God sends a message to God's people as the voice of truth, for you to try to step in and steal that seed out of somebody's life, really what you're doing, you are teaching that person to rebel against God. Amen. God knows that if we listen to the voices he's not sent, it can get us into rebellion and disobedience just like that. I tell you what I want to do. I want to live my life in the will of God. I don't ever want to be crossed up with God. Now, I'm prone to any time. Are y'all listening? I ain't above, amen, God having to drag me the woodshed and beat the daylights out of me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've been there. I don't like it.
And I've been there enough times to know I don't want to go again if I can just listen to God and discern the voices and not be brought into disobedience. I can make it pretty good and carry on even if I've been carried away. Amen. Say, preacher, what is the antidote to these, to distinguishing these voices that God has not sent? I want to say this tonight. You better have a good relationship with the Word of God. Amen. You better count the Word of God to be just that, the Word of God and not the Word of man. That way when these voices come and they say, well, you can do this. Buddy, I'm telling you, all the podcasts going on in our day and social media, everybody has a voice to add to their opinion. Amen. I'm watching young people that have run to the far country, and you know what they're doing? You know the voice they're sending back? It ain't as bad as they said it was. It ain't as bad down here in the far country as they said it was. Say, you say, oh, they're not saying that. Oh, yeah, when they post their pictures. When they post their pictures and they got everything posed just right, and the smile and the, amen, the shadows and the sunlight is all just on them right, and it looks so amazing. But I'm going to tell you, I know where some of them are tonight. And if it was as great as they said it was, they wouldn't be on all the medication they're having to take. You listening? What they're doing, Luke, is they're sending back a voice that is teaching others how to rebel against God. You can like it, lump it. I hope you like it, but if you don't, just hit the bump and run on over it. I'm going to tell you something. Everything out there that's going on, sending word back, you better have a high regard for the Word of God. So that when they say, it's okay to drink, no, it ain't. That book said not to look on, not to even look on the wine cup turning, a wine turning. It ain't okay. I don't care what they say, it ain't okay. When they say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with a little smooching here and there and acting immoral, there ain't nothing wrong with that. It's real pleasure, but we're having a good time. Oh, no, the Word of God said this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. Can't believe that voice, because the voice of God has taught me better. I regard God's Word. Here's what the psalmist said. I esteem thy Word in all things to be right. Amen. And so if you come at me with something that is contrary to that book, I have such a regard for the Word of God. I have a mandate upon my life to ignore every other voice that doesn't line up with that one. Because if it don't line up with that one, look here, it ain't from God. If the voices in you and around you don't line up with this book, I promise you they're not from God. Amen. Now, let me say this. You need a relationship with the Word of God, a regard for the Word of God. But you're going to have a relationship to the Spirit of God. Amen. Here's what Jesus said, Brother Lucas. He said about the Holy Ghost, he said, I'm sending you and he will guide you into all truth. He'll be the one that helps you discern the voices that are around you in these days. Amen. If you're going to carry on when you've been carried away, listen, you better have a relationship with the Spirit of God in your life, so he can reveal to you which is from God and which isn't. Amen. I think very practically in the text tonight that we could say you better have a, and I would add this tonight, and I don't mean this to be self-promoting, it's just in the Bible. I'd preach this if I wasn't the pastor here. But you better have a high reverence for the man of God. Amen. I was preaching to the young people. I told y'all I was done, and here I am. Finally, my brethren. Amen. Three times later. I was preaching to the young people on yesterday over at Ridgeview in the meeting about proving the will of God. Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Paul said the will of God, the Word of God, it is good and it is acceptable and it is perfect. The will of God is.
and it will never change. It'll always be good, always acceptable, always perfect. Your responsibility is to prove the will of God. You have a mandate on your life as a child of God to be able to distinguish and discern and approve of and do the will of God in your life. Here's the first point I preach to them. I won't preach it tonight. That whole text begins with Paul saying to the believers at Rome, I beseech you. That tells me you cannot really fully know the will of God if you don't have a reverence for the man of God that God has put in your life. Amen. Now I want to say tonight, I'm not, and no man of God is spiritual enough to be able to dictate the will of God for your life. That ain't my job, is to dictate the will of God for your life. I can't tell you where to work, when to quit work. I can't tell you how many babies you're supposed to have. Amen. I can't dictate every detail of your life, but I'm going to tell you this. If you want to be able to discern them voices as they come, are they from God or not? If you'll have a reverence for the man of God, you'll be amazed how God can use the man of God in your life to put the brakes on something. Amen. That's what happened in Jeremiah's day. They're believing all these false things. And God said, I did not send them. I sent you one man that had my heart and my message. And that's the man that's writing this letter to you about how to carry on, though you've been carried away. You can make it. You can survive. It's going to be a long time, but you'll come out and your seed to come out on the other side as serving the Lord and restoring worship in Jerusalem. But you're going to have to listen to what the man of God, as the voice of God, has to say in your life. Amen. Amen. Can the man of God speak into your life? Do you care about what the preacher has to say? Amen. Wonder why there's so much deception and destruction. Why there's so much disobedience. I'm talking about blatant rebellion against the Word of God in these days. I don't mean this. Listen, I ain't screaming, so don't take it like this is self-promotion. But I'm telling you, there is so little regard and reverence today for God's man. Amen. Amen. And it saddens my heart. You saw, I bet it does. That takes a lot of your authority. Well, it ain't about that. It's about God gives us pastors and teachers for the perfecting of our lives. Amen. The edifying of the church, the building of the body. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians 4, that text where he's speaking about that, He said, the reason God has done that is so that you won't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every voice out there ain't from God. Amen. 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 Many folk wind up in a mess because they put distance between them and the man of God and the voice of God that comes through that man of God. How many times she'll be all right, she just sounds like she's dying. Amen. How many times has your life been on course and you thought, man, I'm doing pretty good? And the preacher get up and preach about what was going on in your life. Amen. I ask the young people, I'm done. I'm just seeing how long y'all will sit here and take it. Amen. I asked the young people a few weeks back there in the Sunday school class. It blew my mind. It blew my mind away. I said, have you ever been in a service and the preacher got up preaching and you thought, who in the world told him what I was doing? Who in the world gave him the information on my life? And this blows my mind. And y'all need to pray for our young people. Every one of our young people said, no, that ain't ever happened to me. Now you can say what you want. That broke my heart back there in that Sunday school class.
And maybe they just don't understand. Maybe they haven't made the connection there. And I pray that's all it is. I tell you what I told them. And if you're sitting here saying, no, that ain't ever happened to me, I cannot tell you how bad that disturbs my heart as a man of God. When the man of God's up preaching, here's what Paul, I'm trying to quit, Riley. I know I ain't running around screaming and we're not pitching babies. Maybe that's what happened to Anna Lee. Maggie pitched her. Amen. Paul said about the church of Thessalonica writing to them, he said, when we came to you with the word of God, here's what blew Paul's mind. He said, when we preached the word of God to you, you did not receive it as the word of man. See, if you listen to the man of God as though he's just giving the word of man out, then you can shovel it back, shovel it out, shovel it down, stomp on it, spit on it, and never be held accountable for any of it. Paul said, you did not receive it as the word of man. You received it as it was the word of God, the word of truth, which effectually worketh in you that believe. It blew Paul's mind that he could just get up and say, God said, and show them where God said it, and they received it, and they applied it, and they let it work in their life. Amen. When's the last time God spoke to you through a message? When's the last time God rescued you from a voice you was listening to that wasn't from God, and he did it through the preaching of the word of God and the Spirit of God moving through a man of God to challenge your life in the direction it was going. Amen. That's why it matters so greatly where you go to church. Amen. I may not be a lot of things, a lot of preachers are, but I tell you what, I try every week of my life to be at least three times a week, is getting that study back there and say, God, what do you want them to hear? What do you want them to hear? Lord, I don't know everything going on in everybody's life. I need you to give me a message so I can stand as the mouthpiece and the voice of God for them and where they are. They may be nigh, listening to voices that are deceiving them and destroying them and leading them into rebellion. Lord, I need something that I can stand up there and be able to confidently say without batting an eye, this is from God. Whether it's a smooth message or a heavy message or a rough message, but it's come from God to help us where we are. Amen. I don't mean to be critical, amen, but you could probably get a 50-gallon drum and put all the preachers in this community that are really the voice of God, truly the voice of God, you probably fit all of us in a 50-gallon drum. I don't know them all. I hope there's more than I think there is. Amen. Amen. But you're going to have a reverence for God's man. You're going to have a relationship to God's Spirit. You're going to have regard for God's Word. Amen. And in these days, there's more voices than there's ever been. There is more need for God's people to be in tune to the voice that God has sent than ever before. That's why there's so many can't carry on in these days. They're listening to the wrong voice. Amen. Well, thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank God for His man. May God help us carry on when we've been carried away. It gets better. That's the rough part. Amen. And I won't apologize. Brother Larry, I won't apologize for what I preach tonight because it's true. It is true. Heavenly Father,